What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison, a contributor at NinerNoise.com, and here with me, fellow contributor and, compatriot and all such things, Akshaz Divadula. Akshaz, it's the free agency period has begun, as we're going to talk about, but how are you doing, sir?
I'm good. You know, I'm excited, Robert, just to kind of see what's going to happen with the 49ers. I think they made a lot of interesting moves, even if I don't, like, we'll talk about it, but I do think a lot of teams are getting better, but that's always the sentiment in free agency, is that
right.
Anyone who, like, sends the big bucks is getting better, and the ones that aren't really paying out are getting worse. I do think the 49ers are remaking themselves, so to speak, and that's the most interesting part.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like, part and it's hard not to look at that and go, oh, well, you know, the Rams are spending money where we think the 49ers should be. And, you know, the Eagles have signed literally every person on the planet, it feels like. And you look at it and you're like, oh, OK, well, how are the 49ers like not getting into these things? And there's probably some rationale for it. Right. Like, first of all, they don't have as much cap room as other teams do. So that makes a pretty big deal. And there's a pretty good chance, as I'm sure we'll get into in a little bit, that the philosophies are different, that the Niners have decided they're going to hit a couple of key positions in free agency and kind of let the draft take care of the rest of it. And I think it's just kind of a matter of what you think you can get where you are in the draft and where your draft board falls. And like clearly the Rams feel that they can get other needs taken care of. Like, they spend money on their offensive line, right? Whereas everybody was like, oh, why aren't the 49ers spending money on their offensive line? And, two things. One, the 49ers outside of Trent Williams are probably not going to spend a lot of money on their offensive line, right? They're not going to dole out, you know, $50, $60 million contracts to guards. It's just not what they do. And second of all, maybe they have good, you know, high grades on some interior offensive linemen or something like that they feel can step in pretty quickly and shore up the position. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm right there with you where you're just like, okay, you have to remind yourself, nobody's winning the Super Bowl in March. It's impossible. Well, maybe one day you'll be able to win the Super Bowl in March if they keep pushing the number of regular season games in the playoffs. So maybe I shouldn't speak at this rate. Well, we only got, like, if they push the Super Bowl back three more weeks, you could win the Super Bowl in March, but you know what I mean. So I'm not concerned. Obviously, the 49ers were working from a position of strength in that their team and their roster was already among the best in the NFL. And so it's really about, as you were noting, kind of tweaking it and figuring out what the future of this is going to look like. And, you know, what can we think about for this year and for this upcoming year and for years on down the road when they got other things that they'll have to worry about then.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I just think they're in an interesting spot where they're starting to look at the future. And the future is Brock Purdy either getting a huge contract or you having to find a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the last year where they can really use free agency as a method to truly improve their team. And they're trying to take a more, I'd want to say, like, sustainable approach.
Yeah.
I also think, like, all the contracts we've seen that have been announced are like 1-year, 2-year deals. So they're clearly like setting up a very explicit timeline of how this is going to go, I think. It's like 1 or 2 years, and then we reassess everything from there.
Yeah, because, I mean, even if next year goes well, and then they decide, okay, Brock Purdy's our guy, and then next offseason they pay him a lot of money, there's a pretty good chance that his first, because that's the way that their contracts tend to work, that his first year contract is going to be a reasonable cap hit, right? And then those cap hits will raise. So, like, into, like, 24 and 25 are the years that they can look at it and go, okay, well, we've got it pretty well, you know, set. Like, there's not any, we can foresee the cap going in certain directions and that kind of thing. Whereas, you know, they can't really see what it's going to do 5-6 years down the line with Purdy hopefully still in place.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they have a lot to be working towards. It's interesting because they're so close, right? And, like, obviously they're so close. We just saw them lose the Super Bowl. But they're a team where you look at it and you go, what are the weaknesses of this team? And there are places where they're never really going to spend money. Like, it's very hard for them to spend money there. So now you question, how much can the 49ers get better? And it's really a question of, what are you trying to raise here? Are you trying to raise the ceiling of this team? Like, have even more unblockable superstars that single-handedly take over games? Or do you say, oh, we have enough of that. Let's make sure that, like, everything else is working. Let's limit the weak points as opposed to, like, raising the star power. And I think free agency often lends itself to the star power raising. That's, like, what attracts the most eyes. But I do think the alternative of essentially setting yourself up such that all 22 players on the field are positives. They might not be the most positive, but all of them are positives for you. That can be a very interesting way to approach team building when you have a roster like the 49ers.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Akshaz, this is a very prolific moment in the history of this podcast. We have breaking news.
Okay.
It's not 49ers related specifically. Aaron Donald is announcing his retirement, according to Ian Rappaport.
Oh my God.
So that just happened, like, moments ago. Obviously, by the time you're listening to this podcast, you will have heard about this, but we are reacting to this in real time because this literally just happened. He tweeted this 12 minutes ago. So, wow. Speaking of changing the dynamic of the division, that'll do it. There have been you know, rumors and stuff like that about Aaron Donald calling it quits for the last couple of seasons, really going on back to when they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Everybody's like, oh, is he going to go out on top? So this is very strange. I got to say, like, the timing of this seems odd. But yeah, I mean, that's a pretty major, especially considering the fact that the Rams seem to be, like, trending upward, right? So it's very interesting. You got to wonder what's going on there. But I mean, again, not 49ers related directly, but certainly impactful in that he's, you know, a key cog, or has been a key cog on a team that you figure was going to be their main adversary heading into next season. And that changes that defense an awful lot.
I mean, yeah, I just spent, 30 seconds talking about floors and ceilings? Aaron Donald is both. I mean, oh my gosh, that guy, he is annoying to have to watch on the other side. But, like, inner Hall of Fame, one of one type player. And the fact that he's calling it quits, I think it changes the Rams a lot. It gives them more money to work with, obviously, but there's no replacing Aaron Donald. Like, he and J.J. Watt are probably the most dominant interior presences that the NFL has seen in the last decade or so. And, I mean, that's a game changer. I'm going to be really interested to see how the Rams respond to that. They have to have known that that was something that could happen. And you're right. He has been toying with retirement for the last couple of years, but it's a big deal. That changes a lot for the NFC West.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that was exciting. I don't know. I saw that come in. I was just fiddling around with something while you were talking, and you know, and I saw that there was a notification on Slack, and I go in there and Peter Panacy, our fearless leader, had posted something about, he said, bye bye, Aaron Donald. And then he posted Rappaport's tweet. So wild. Anyway, so obviously that'll be something that we'll be able to get into, you know, throughout the off season and kind of take a look at how that'll change the Rams when we get into the regular season as well. But the Niners have been pretty busy this, as you alluded to, this off season so far. There was, some kind of under the surface type work being done before the league year started this past Wednesday. As we found out later, so there was some restructuring done. I think Fred Warner was the first to kind of agree to have his deal restructured, got him down to basically the veteran minimum, which freed up a lot of cap space. But that conversation, and we'll get into a couple of names that impacted as well here in just a little bit too. that conversation apparently also led to the 49ers brass having talks with Eric Armstead and his representatives about doing the same thing. And while Warner was happy to make the change, Armstead declined to take the pay cut. And officially on Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern was released. He'll be released with a post June 1st designation so that the dead money left on his contract can be prorated over the next couple of seasons. That does save the 49ers some pretty significant change this year and into next year. Just kind of looking at it, according to Jason from overthecap.com, he had a $28.353 million cap hit this season. So that's $25.86 million in dead money. So if he is, and it appears he will be, that June 1st cut, they'll be able to split that. That will save them $18.26 million in cash and help with the cap and all that kind of stuff. But not the best of circumstances under which Armstead's tenure with the 49ers to end. He ended up signing with Jacksonville yesterday, I believe. It was a 3-year, $51 million deal. Reported going back to the guy that drafted him, which kind of makes sense in some ways, Trent Baalke out there in Jacksonville, but kind of an interesting way for things to end. He was obviously playing hurt through a lot of last season. The reports were that he played with meniscus tear in his knee in the Super Bowl, had to have surgery this off season, but you know, it's unfortunate that it happened that way, and that he's going out with a sort of like a kind of a whimper of like, no, I don't want to take less money to stick around. Especially considering the fact that he only got like $17 million a season in Jacksonville. Obviously, we don't know what that money looks like, and we don't know what the restructure that the 49ers brought to him was. We can assume that it was less than $17 million a season based on the contract that he signed. So, you know, good for Armstead to go and get his money when he could, but at the same time, you know, you kind of hate to see it end the way that it did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the 49ers kind of knew where they wanted to go in setting up the salary structure for their defensive tackles. And Armstead, first of all, incredible player when healthy. Absolute like pros pro. Walter Mittenham, man of the year nominee for like the fourth straight year for the 49ers, you know, from Sacramento, the oldest tenured player on the team, like everything you want in someone who represents your franchise. And then for him to like be released this way, it's difficult. You know, it's, as you said, it's a whimper for his career, but you know, the 49ers had to make a hard decision, and they approached Armstead for a pay cut, and you know, it's his right not to accept it. And once he didn't accept it, I think the Niners, as opposed to letting him see the market and kind of going for there, essentially decided to proactively solve the issue. So they've aggregated to respond to Armstead. And you know, this is another one of it's a difficult decision. We don't know how his contract with Jacksonville looks out. We don't know if that's what the 49ers wanted him to get down to. Maybe they wanted him to take more of a pay cut than what Jacksonville offered. Maybe it was less, but you know, that's what he's one of those guys who I think has been much maligned for his 49ers career because he was a representation of Balky and Kelly and Tom Sula and just like weird decisions at the tail end of that run. But he like, he came into his own as a phenomenal player and yeah, he'll be sorely missed.
Yeah. Again, good for him. He did what he felt he needed to do for himself and for his family. Plus I hear they don't have income tax in Florida, which means that that money will go a lot further, I guess. I don't know. You know, he wanted to extend his career. I think it's a pretty good chance that the 49ers were, I mean, even if they had allowed him, if he had agreed to the pay cut, he had to think that this would have been the last season anyway, right? In 24. Cause at that point, you've probably done the damage that you need to do. And he's probably not going to help you out any further than that. So, yeah, we'll see. And hopefully it'll work out nicely for Eric Armstead. So that was the sort of big thing that happened. So I mentioned in terms of outgoing, Fred Warner did accept the contract restructure, as did Kyle Juszczyk. He freed up like $1.5 million, $1.75 million. Something like that in money, which relative to the amount of money that he was making is a pretty decent chunk of space that he was able to free up. It was announced this morning that both George Kittle and Javon Hargrave also restructuring their contracts in order to free up some space. I think Kittle's number was, I think I just saw it was like 10, something like $10 million in cap space that he was able to free up. No word yet on specifically what Hargrave's deal was, but it does seem that along with obviously the players that they've signed, which we'll get into in just a minute, both re-signing players and sign, bringing in new guys, they're definitely freeing up some cap space for kind of filling in the gaps as they needed. But of course, the speculation is, you know, what is this going to mean for Brandon Ayuk and his contract situation? But of course, as we've talked about already, this is not just like we're making cap room for 2024. This is a looking into the future and seeing like what is a Brock Purdy going to need next year and that sort of thing. So this is sort of the inevitable way that these things go. And I think we're going to say this a lot, I think, throughout the offseason and into next season, that they are going to be really all about making moves to ensure that they can get back to the Super Bowl and hopefully win it this time.
Yeah, I mean, I also think a huge element of it that we don't really think about is the rollover that the 49ers can have. That's why they were so close to being cap compliant this year anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge part because that essentially allows them to not have to like worry about necessarily when they get this money. They just have to have it, you know? So yeah. That means they have a chance to roll it over if they don't use it in free agency, don't have to. They can use it for Ayuk, like all sorts of good reasons to use it, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. You always want to, and you want to leave yourself a little wiggle room at the end of the, you know, going into the season anyway. So you don't want to be like, button up against the line, and then if somebody gets injured and you have to bring somebody else in, then you're not able to do that. So something to pay attention to. So all right, so let's get into what have the Niners done in free agency other than the Armstead news, which is a pretty big thing, I think, to say the least. So they had a pretty sizable list of free agents heading into the off season. Names like Randy Gregory, Chase Young, Sam Darnold, Javon Kinlaw, Sean Gibson, Sebastian Joseph Day, Cleveland Farrell, John Feliciano, and tons of other names are players that they were in danger of losing. Also Juwan Jennings and Brandon Allen. So first couple of moves obviously were internal early on before the league year started, because those are the only moves that you can make leading up to that point. Are guys that were with your team previously. So one of the first moves that they made was bringing back offensive lineman Ben Bartsch, who they got from Jacksonville last season, the middle of last year, an interior guy that they might be able to use as a depth player for next year. They also brought back Demetrius Flanagan Vals on a one-year deal, and they were able to extend special teamer and backup safety George Odom on a two-year deal. According to Matt Barrows from The Athletic, that's 2 years, $10.8 million. They also brought back Brandon Allen early in the before the year started. As I wrote on 90s.com, I feel like that pretty much solidifies, along with another move that we're going to talk about here in just a second, that Brandon Allen is probably going to be QB2, you know, barring any major strange things that happen. I mean, I guess if he gets outplayed by a rookie, then go for it, I guess. But I really don't think that's very likely. Like, and his contract is pretty decent. I think it's only $1.5 million or something like that, considering Sam Darnold was making $4.5 million last year. And I'm not sure that they're going to – I feel like they're going to feel more comfortable having Brandon Allen back there as the number two rather than some kid that you don't know what he's going to do. Because at this point, if they have a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, it's going to be a late round draft guy or an undrafted guy. So I feel like that's the most likely outcome. Juwan Jennings was given a second round tender. He was a restricted free agent. That was reported by the team, so that's official and everything. that just means that he could still theoretically be signed by another team, but they would have to. But the 49ers would get the first opportunity to match, or they would get a second round pick in the NFL draft. I don't think that anybody's going to give up. Essentially, you're trading a second round pick for Juwan Jennings at that particular point. I just don't see that happening. Kevin Givens also returning on a 1 year deal. So as far as internal guys, that's the main focus in terms of guys that are coming back. Although, breaking news number two, I'm really good at this today. This is really happening. So I just saw John Feliciano has announced that he's returning to the 49ers next year. I don't know anything about the parameters. That's just like something he posted on social media. It's like, hey, I'm coming back for next year. There was some indication within the post that this might be his last year. It is year 10 for him. He posted last ride, faithful, year 10. The first comment on it is George Kittle saying he back, spelled B-A-Y-C-K. So good job, George. So those are the internal guys as far as we know that are returning. There are some internal guys that are not returning that we'll get into here momentarily. Any standouts there in terms of like, yeah, you had to add that, you had to make it happen kind of things?
I think the biggest standout is the guy who going to come back but hasn't right now in Jennings, because I think that's where the 49ers are at their most like win-win situation, which restricted free agency does. Jennings was going to be the Super Bowl MVP if they won that Super Bowl,
so, yep,
you know, and he finally did the thing that I think we were talked about at the beginning of last year about, like, I don't know if he's taking that step necessarily. It looked like he took a ton of steps in that postseason run. But the flip side is that I think the 49ers have been hunting for an element of speed in their offense for a really long time. And, you know, you're not taking Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel out of the game. So that really leaves Juwan as the guy who you swap out in nickel sets. So in that way, I'm interested in seeing how they resolve it with Jennings, because I could see the 49ers going wide receiver early day two of the draft, get someone really fast, get someone who kind of athletically changes up your team a little bit and go from there. And that would mean that Jennings is not as important. But out of the guys, he's super important. And then I also think Feliciano, the breaking news, big, big deal, because I think it's clear the Niners don't trust Burford anymore.
Sure, yeah.
He hasn't become the player that they thought he would be eventually, and Feliciano is the stopgap for that. And then Odom, I think $5 million is a lot for your backup safety, but, you know, maybe they're expecting him to be the fill-in if Hufanga takes a little bit longer to get better. He's an elite special teams player, and you need those. You know, that's important.
Yeah, and the post did say up to 10.8 million. So it could be like if he ends up playing a certain number of defensive snaps that he'll get that or something like that. We'll see what the actual numbers look like in time. Now, as far as 49ers players who have signed elsewhere, the aforementioned Sam Darnold is going to the Vikings, conceivably to be there to have a chance to be their starting quarterback. Strange. Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta. That man makes so much money for being what he is. It's just amazing. But yeah, Darnold signed a one-year deal, worth about $10 million, 8.75 guarantees, which doesn't like scream he's definitely going to be our starter, but definitely screams he's going to have a pretty good chance to compete for the starting position. It'll be interesting to see. There's a pretty high likelihood they're going to be in the market for whoever like the third best quarterback in the draft is. Or sorry, the fourth best quarterback in the draft, because you have, you know, Caleb Williams going number one and Drake May probably two, and Jaden Daniels from LSU, I think, is going to be your third guy. Where he goes, it'll be interesting. So it could be like J.J. McCarthy is the fourth best guy. I don't know, whoever it might be. I think the Vikings are probably going to snag him early in the first round, and then maybe they're still working. They did make a trade to get back a second pick in the first round, so maybe they're working on something, but Darnold gets another shot to see if he can be a starter at least this year. Javon Kinlaw is going to the Jets, 1 year, $7.25 million, which is like significantly more money than I would have expected that he would have gotten based on really 1 year production and health. $6.9 million of it is guaranteed, so it's basically a 1 year, you know, $7 million contract, which is, you know, good for him. Gives to Robert Saleh, who knows him a bit. That makes sense. Isaiah Alder also, he got released before the league year started. He's also going to the Jets as well. Mentioned Feliciano. Ray McLeod going to Atlanta to be with Kirk Cousins, I guess. Whatever. So that means the Niners are out that sort of gadget guy, but also a kick and punt returner. So that will be something to watch out for in the draft and throughout the rest of the off season. Chris Connolly, I neglected to mention him this morning. Matt Maioka mentioned that they're working out a deal for him to return on a 1 year deal. Matt Pryor signed somewhere, I think Chicago, is that right? I think that was correct. Charlie Warner also going to Atlanta. So look at that. I mean, the 49ers supplying Kirk Cousins with just weapons on top of weapons or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, so those are the main like guys that from the team that have gone elsewhere. I don't know. Nothing there makes me go, oh, well, the 49ers are really going to miss this guy. Like those are moves that you kind of expected, players that you probably thought were going to move on, and nobody goes, oh, like, man, we really missed out. Like, if Kinlaw had been up for taking less money than that, I could feel they would have kept him around, but because clearly they wanted defensive tackles. But I think the money thing probably just ended up working out in his favor in with the Jets. But other than that, you're just like, eh, those are guys that can be replaced for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the guy who's the biggest version of, like, ooh, that one hurts, is Armstead, actually. And that's its own separate thing. So, you know, but these are all really, really good players who played important roles. I think Ray McLeod is the most interesting case because he really changed the 49ers punt game in a good way, right? Like, I'm sure in the same way everyone just thinks about Kyle Williams, they're going to think about Ray and that muff in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, he made special teams like a positive for the 49ers, where it wasn't often in the return game, but he never had like the final piece of juice, I'd say, to like really make it explosive. So I think that's where the Niners could really mess it up, and then he becomes like, that becomes a big miss, or they can really approach it in a very interesting way. But other than that, it's a lot of like the depth of the team, which really hurts because I feel like fans of a team like their depth more than any like other people do because you know them better, right? Like,
right.
But so it feels like these are like really big losses in some ways, but they're not like the craziest ones. Yeah. But I do think it all depends on how the Niners kind of approach replacing them. I could see them using a lot of their picks to kind of get younger there. That's its own situation. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see for sure.
Yeah. There actually is one that I missed that I think is actually the biggest of these, and that's Cleveland Farrell going to the Commanders. Mm-hmm. I think I would have liked to see him back. I my guess is that they probably think that some of the guys that they brought in are essentially like for like replacements for Cleveland Farrell. But, you know, he goes again. A lot of the things that you saw with the outgoing guys is Jets, Commanders, a couple of people, you know, Jacksonville. So teams that have former 49ers executives or coaches or something like that running the team, which is very interesting. Like the sort of intrigue of that is very curious. Oxas, guess what? I get to do it again.
Oh my gosh.
The third breaking news, this is not a major one. Devondre Campbell apparently signing with the 49ers linebacker.
Oh, very nice.
So they, we'll get into this in a little bit. They swung and missed on a linebacker. Well, they didn't swing and miss, but they got a little spurned by a linebacker, an older linebacker that, like, my guess is was the plan was, you know, have him in place in case Dre Greenlaw isn't ready to go. But Devondre Campbell seems to be that new guy that is going to kind of hold down the fort as far as maybe stepping in as a starter. I don't know. I'm also like, the hope is, right, that what really happens is that either Jalen Graham or D Winters like steps up over the offseason and like is ready to at least somewhat provide coverage in that particular area. And then when Dre Greenlaw gets back, you're like, good, we're back where we were when Azeez Al-Shaarawy was here. So yeah, that, I mean, you kind of hope this is just like a small money deal that they can get out of if he doesn't get the job done. But the part I hate about this is because if it wasn't for the fact that Greenlaw got injured in the Super Bowl, then they wouldn't even consider needing another veteran linebacker, because they've been like, well, we got the two best linebackers, we got the best linebacker pairing in the league, so we just need depth behind them, and we feel comfortable with our young guys, and then somebody like Flanagan Fowles. So it's a little bit of a bummer that they have to even spend this money in the first place, because they have to have some coverage in case these young guys don't pan out, which is unfortunate.
I agree. I mean, I'm all for the Niners having kind of gone with the youth movement in the linebacking core. I feel like I was on board with that probably like before we should have been on board with it, back when it was just, it was like, who starts against Oren Burks? But I think it's a good depth signing. Campbell has kind of lost a step. He was really good with the Packers a couple of years ago, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But I don't know. I think it all depends on the money, honestly.
Yeah,
the more and more I'm thinking about it, the more I feel like there's a way this is like really bad and I'm really annoyed by it. Or this is really smart. I don't know. Now you see. Now you see the problem with live reaction. I don't know what my thoughts on this at all.
You simultaneously were into it and then talked yourself out of it within like 30 seconds. That was amazing. no, I mean that's fine. That's the way I feel about it too. I'm just like, if this is a, I don't know, a $2 million deal, whatever. You know, like maybe 1 year. I can't imagine it's that low. But if it's a low cap number and they. And it's not a, you know, and it's not a, like, you're guaranteed to be on the team kind of number, then I'm fine with it. Like, because if one of those young guys beats him out, then let him beat him out and let him be the guy, right? So, all right. So that is all some mix of internal and external guys. That was crazy. Three breaking news items in the same podcast. Wild. That will never happen again. So there we go. All right. So they did do some signing of outside fellas and some trades, really just one trade. So there's some things that happened before the season started and all that kind of stuff. But the big news that broke throughout the beginning of the week, obviously when the quote-unquote legal tampering period, which we should just call the negotiation period because legal tampering is an oxymoron that doesn't make any sense, the 49ers came to a couple of agreements in those first 2 days. The first was with former Rams and Bills pass rusher Leonard Floyd. According to Ian Rappaport, it was a 2 year, $20 million deal worth up to $24 million, $12 million guaranteed in year one. The only problem with that is that the rest of the deals that we're about to talk about and transactions and such have all been announced by the 49ers. However, this was the first deal that was announced as a potential move by NFL insiders, Rappaport in this particular case. That was on March 11th, which was Monday, and we haven't heard an official peep out of the 49ers on this one yet, so I'm a little concerned, only because, as we'll talk about here in a second, we did have a turncoat amongst our early agreeances, and so I'm a little concerned, but also, let's just assume that it's going to be fine. I think this is a good move, a good short. I mean, if the terms that Rappaport is talking about here are good, that means that most of the money is going to be paid out in year one, which means it's essentially, you know, a 1 year, $12 million deal with an $8 million option at the back end of it, if you want to look at it that way. And who knows what the numbers are going to look like. Maybe they can get out of it after year one. But he's been a, like, really useful pass rusher in his stops. I think he's been at 9+ sacks the last couple of seasons. And with somebody like Nick Bosa opposite him, you got to think that he's going to have even less attention paid to him. And if he can continue to be a useful player, that he'll more than earn that money. And I think this would be a good deal to kind of solidify that second pass rush position.
I agree. You know, when it finally gets finalized and reported and all that good stuff, we'll see the exact kind of nature of the contract. But as it stands, I think Leonard Floyd is a really, really talented player who, most importantly, has a really high motor. And I think that's what really the Niners are looking for, is a guy who doesn't necessarily have to drive per se the pass rush, but has to be like always involved. And I think opposite Bosa, there's a lot of ways for him to really kind of clean up sacks that Bosa or Hargrave caused from pressure. He's really, really aggressive. He plays a lot of games. it's a floor-raising move, I think, in a really good way, because you get some of the benefit of high sack numbers, even though I think his underlying pressure numbers are not as good as his 9.5 sacks last year would indicate. That's still, like, you know, the correlation between those two, I think, is very strong, but there is a skill to getting sacks as opposed to just getting pressures. And I do think Floyd has some of that. But the biggest thing is he just plays hard. Like, he's always going to be going. And I think that's what the 49ers need opposite Bosa. They need someone who's willing to, like, who's able to will themselves into situations. Because, you know, when you have one guy who's so dominant, he can disrupt a game immediately, then you want to make sure that quarterback doesn't have a place they can run to. And for that, you need another guy who's willing to get after it and kind of clean up on the back end. So I like the addition a lot. I think it's not as flashy as some of the other options that were around, but it's a really cost-effective way of addressing the issue. And, you know, the Niners may not be done at defensive end. I know you're going to talk about another guy they signed already, but even on top of that, a lot of really talented pass rushers are still floundering out there on the market. So the Niners do have a chance, an opportunity to kind of add more if they see fit.
Yeah. So that second guy that you're referring to, this one has been announced by the 49ers, so this is an official move. Former Panthers edge rusher, really actually more defensive end, like hybrid kind of guy. I think he's more the – we talked about Cleveland Farrell leaving. To me, Yetur Gross-Matos, again, a two-year deal worth $18 million from Rapoport on Monday. And we'll see what that number actually looks like. He's more the Cleveland Farrell, like, replacement. He's a little bit of a younger guy. He's been pretty good with the Panthers, but he's been very flexible in a similar way to like somebody like a Charles Omenihu was, where he could go inside and outside. He's not maybe your prototypical edge rusher in that regard, but it's like somebody who could maybe he's your third guy your interior guy next to Hargrave on that turbo package with Bosa and Leonard Floyd. As like he can create interior pressure along with getting out on the edge as like the Bravo defensive end edge rusher kind of guy. I think it makes sense. Highly regarded player coming out of Penn State, but it will be interesting to see how, you know, this is another like, let's see if Chris Kocurek can kind of push him to the next level kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Farrell like comparison. I think for this iteration of the team, that's what he's looking for. But really, I see him being the Charles Omenihu replacement from last year. Yeah. The guy who can really like play all around the defensive line, is good at those, strong run defender, has some pass rush ability that maybe the 49ers can unlock. I mean, I think it's an expensive signing, I'd say, for a guy who you can't really guarantee is going to be as good as the Niners are paying him to be. But that said, I think it's a smart upside play.
Yeah. But the Niners weren't done then. The next day, they went on to add former Browns defensive tackle Jordan Elliott, a two-year, $10 million deal. So, again, looking at the number that Kinlaw got for 1 year and the number that Jordan Elliott got for 2 years, you can see why they opted not to keep Kinlaw around if that was the number that he was looking for, or if that was the number that he got from the Jets. Jordan Elliott, he's definitely just an interior pass rusher, but also a good run stuffer. Was a starter on that Browns defensive line, which was very good last year. He's not going to be a three down player, because I think when we get into pass rushing situations, as we were talking about, there's a pretty good chance that Gross-Matos will slide inside, or somebody like him will slide inside next to Hargrave. But as far as when you're losing an Eric Armstead, when you're losing what Javon Kinlaw gave you last year, you have to bolster that interior next to Hargrave. And I think this is a solid, if not spectacular, if unspectacular kind of move.
I agree. I mean, I don't know enough about Jordan Elliott, honestly. So, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I don't think $5 million is particularly like prohibitive in any which way. And I agree, he doesn't seem like the type of guy who's going to be an every down lineman. And if he is the Kinlaw replacement, I mean, I don't know. He might be $2 million on the cap. Not as good as Kinlaw, but honestly, this is one of those signings where the Niners signing him, it's just, okay, I will trust their evaluation of defensive linemen to see if there's anything there.
Yeah, and trust that they have a really top-notch defensive line coach who can work through any issues that might exist, for sure. The next move was also defensive, but it didn't turn out to be true. They initially had a deal reportedly with a former Los Angeles Chargers linebacker Eric Kendricks, who was also with the Vikings for a little while as well. But instead, once the actual signing, when it came around to actually signing the deal, he chose to go to the Dallas Cowboys at the last minute. We talked about Devondre Campbell kind of filling that particular void, which is the basically filling the gap until Dre Greenlaw is ready to go, because who knows how long that's going to be. He, you know, tore his Achilles in February, you know, a couple weeks ago, basically a month ago. Whether or not he's going to be ready for the start of the season remains iffy, I would say. So a little bummer with Kendricks, but, you know, whatever. He's been shunned now for forever and ever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is why the legal tampering period, I think, is kind of dumb. Like, I understand it conceptually in every sport. It's like it gives time because technically, you know, you're not supposed to be negotiating before free agency. So obviously you need some time to hammer a contract. Now, the worst kept secret in professional sports is that everyone negotiates before free agency.
What?
But I think, you know, for Kendricks, the Cowboys demonstrating interest, it made sense that that was the team he would want to go to. Mike Zimmer is their defensive coordinator, and, you know, he played for Mike. I'm sure, you know, the taxes in Texas probably played a role. He might be from the area as well. So, and he's, like, guaranteed a starting spot the entire way through versus
being a
spot starter. So it makes sense. It's a little annoying. No fun that the Cowboys got a guy that we had signed because, you know, rivalries and whatnot. But personally, it's like, I think Campbell will be just fine instead. And the 49ers will go to bed only slightly miffed at this whole event.
Right. The last major deal and was not a free agency, not a free agent signing, but a trade with the Houston Texans. Texans, by the way, man, they are having an offseason. They're going to be very good next year. Just calling that now. They've spent a lot of money because they had a lot of cap room, and they've gotten some very good players, including the aforementioned Azeez Al-Shaair. But they traded a seventh-round draft pick for defensive lineman Malik Collins. My understanding is it's the seventh-round pick they got from Denver in the pick swap with Randy Gregory. Is that correct? I think that's the one. So it's the later. Now I don't remember. I want to say it's the later seventh rounder. But let me just. This is good podcasting, folks. Trying to remember. Akshaz, do you remember offhand?
I do not remember offhand, no, unfortunately.
All right, let me see if I can get the information.
I would assume it is that one, only because as Robert's hunting for the pick, the Niners reportedly had set up a one-on-one trade where they would send Armstead to the Texans in exchange for Collins, but it turned out that the Texans, I think, kind of backed down at the last second, didn't see the fit as well as before. So the Niners then released Armstead, and then the Texans traded Collins for the seventh round pick. And that way, it would be very surprising to me if it was like a higher of the two picks, but, you know, we'll find out shortly. But yeah, Malik Collins is I think if I looked at the statistic right, he had he was 12th in the NFL in pass rush win rate and was double teamed some 59% of the time, as opposed to Armstead, who was 10th in pass rush win rate and double teamed like 60% of the time. And the point is just that Collins, at least last year, replicated a lot of Armstead's pass rush ability, which is really important, obviously, when you think about, oh, you know, the 49ers got Jordan Elliott to be the Kinlaw replacement, but how are they going to kind of get that pass rush oomph? I think Collins is the guy who's going to be the fill-in for that. His contract is significantly a little more, like, manageable for the 49ers cap space. So in that way, it's going to be certainly an interesting kind of addition, I would say. But the downside, of course, is that Collins' run defense is not as good as Armstead's. Now, very few are, but that's kind of where the 49ers have issues. And the other thing, obviously, is that they're kind of compartmentalizing their defense, in my opinion, right? Like, you have kind of set up a position where now the defense is bringing this defensive tackle for this situation, this for that. Like, that's a talent. That's something they can exploit. Collins, I think, has one more year after this, but it's all non-guaranteed, so it's very unlikely that he'll be staying with the 49ers on this larger cap number in 2024.
Yeah, you could see a situation possibly if things work out where they talk about an extension or something like that. But initially, it's definitely a situation where they're gonna have to figure out how to work that out. But again, as we've said several times already this offseason, and in this particular podcast, it seems like this is very much a like win now type of situation that the 49ers are in. And so this kind of move does allow them to free it up in terms of that. It is pick 232, which they got from Houston, that they're sending. The one from Denver is 251. They still have that one. Sorry, I got it. There we go. so pick 232. So nothing really to pay attention to worry about there. They still got their last pick in the seventh round, so that's what they need. That's the sweet spot right there. but yeah, so I think it's all pretty good news for the most part. I guess the question is, of course, Akshas, is what is all this? Well, there's two things. First of all, what do you think this tells us about their draft strategy, given the direction that they've gone in terms of free agency? It's been, if you were not on this team already, you're a defensive player if you're coming to this 49ers team, which is very interesting. So what do we think as far as, like, what does this tell us about what they might do come draft day at this particular juncture?
So for the draft, I think this is basically almost the biggest guarantee that the Niners are going to be drafting offensive tackle in the first round. I'll be amazed if they don't draft an offensive tackle in the first round, given everything that they've decided.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just like, clearly that's the hole that they haven't filled, is offensive line. This is a really good draft for him. The other thing I think it means is that they've kind of given themselves the chance to go best player after getting a tackle, which is, we talked about this, that is the way you should be drafting, is best player. The best drafting organization in the NFL, in my opinion, is the Baltimore Ravens. And that's all they do, is they go, best player available. And kind of from there, it works out, because obviously it works out because you're taking good players at the right spots instead of hunting for a position that you don't necessarily need. So I think that would be the draft thing. The only reason why I'm not 100% sure, and I'm couching what I'm saying in a little bit of restraint, is because I do think it does matter if the 49ers sign a cornerback or not. I do think defensive backfield or offensive tackle is the way they're going in the first round. I couldn't see it being another position.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably right. And then they fill in holes as they need them in other places. I think you mentioned wide receiver. That's certainly a direction they could go. But at this point, it's got to be and the nice thing is, because they have draft capital, and, you know, they gave up the Collins picks, they have 10 draft picks. You could see a situation where, if there's a guy there in the, you know, mid-20s that they're like, we think that's our guy. Like, similar to the way they did with Brandon Ayuk, right? Where they were like, we need to jump and get this guy. This is the guy we need. Do you think that can move? That could be an aggressive move that I think that they could conceivably make, because they're in a position to where they could say, and it doesn't have to be like one guy. It could be, you know, so I'm not saying it's going to be make or break this offensive tackle or make or break this cornerback, but they have a couple of guys in their first round board that they're like, if the opportunity is there to, like, maybe jump ahead into the, you know, mid-20s to get somebody that they need or they think might be helpful, like, year one, they do have the draft capital to make that work too if they decide they want to. If they decide, you know, there's no way 10 guys are making this team next year, so let's try to get the 6 best guys we can get, for example. It's just something to think about.
I definitely think so. I think they're in a position where they don't have to be tied into a particular player. And I do think they have the chance to kind of be smart a little bit about, like, what's the draft looking like right now? And being aggressive, you know, trading up, trading down. They have options, which are important because, you know, without options like the 49ers have had, they're kind of pigeonholed into, like, having to make the picks be right, right? Because you don't have a lot of them. You don't get to play around in the draft. And I do think, you know, with 10 picks, it's very unlikely that they make all 10 of those selections. So they'll definitely have a trade or two in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it makes sense because they're not – yes, they do need to keep stockpiling, right, and continue to bring in youth and all that kind of stuff as the opportunities are there. But I also don't think they need to – okay, we need to take 10 guys because they're not going to be able to keep them around for various reasons. All right, so at this point, they're still going to be making, you know, they got to get their roster to 90 guys. So there's going to be technically free agent signings, a lot of them happening between now and the end of the draft, both in turn, and then the draft picks and then undrafted guys. So there's going to be guys coming in. But as far as major moves, I would think that they're more or less over. Now there are some interesting names sort of out there in what's left. I mean, Randy Gregory is still available. Chase Young is still out there, although he's doing visits in a lot of places. And that's just interesting former 49ers that are available. Not to mention, like, for instance, the safety market is very interesting in terms of available players. The Seahawks let Jamal Adams go. I would touch him with a 10-foot pole, but he's out there. Justin Simmons was let go by the Broncos. That's a very interesting type of player. Quadre Diggs was also let go by the Seahawks. So there's some interesting, like, if they – we don't know, for example, what the situation is with Talanoa Hufanga and how available he's going to be for the regular season. I imagine by the regular season they'll be ready to go, but you got to prepare on the off chance that there's setbacks or something like that. So I could see if they're gonna do something sort of bigger, a safety might be a position to go, or maybe, I mean, who knows? Maybe Talanoa Hufanga, because he's going to be up for contract the same year that Brock Purdy is. Maybe they just decide we need to start thinking about that position along with Jair Brown past next year. I don't know. There could be some intrigue at the safety position. And obviously you mentioned cornerback specifically in that nickel position is the one that I'd be watching out for, but that could be a draft thing. I don't know. I don't foresee any further big moves is what I'm trying to say, but I think that you might have some thoughts about that.
I don't necessarily foresee it, but I do think, you know, We've like talked about each move kind of individually, and I think the general consensus is that they're interesting. They're not needle movers per se, but they're definitely like useful, right? But I do think the 49ers will not have had a successful like free agency if they don't address the cornerback position or the nickel position. Like, just the reality is you need someone better than Ambry Thomas, I think, given the fact that you're going to be playing a ton of nickel. Like, that's just the way the NFL is now. And the fact that Thomas, like, he maybe can take that next step, but to not insulate that position, I think would be, like, negligence on the part of the 49ers. And the one guy I'm really looking at is Tre'Davious White, who I think is the perfect kind of mixture of really, really, really good in a way that the 49ers have probably never had on their roster, along with also coming off injury, so there's some upside and the contract won't be super high. Or if it means you swing a trade for like Patrick Surtain, like the 49ers were considering doing, I don't know what it is, but I think they've essentially decided, I think, that the defensive line is going to be this kind of setup. It's going to be Bosa and Hargrave as your like needle movers. And then it's going to be everyone else they've signed as the, like, guys who fill in. I think the defensive backfield is a much harder place to kind of have that sort of mentality, because you can't really pick on a defensive end all that much. You can, but like, that's not going to be the reason why you give up a trillion like yards. You can pick on a cornerback and lose a game just by having the wrong cornerback out there. So I would love for them to sign Tre'Davious White. I think he could be the type of player who absolutely takes this defense from like really, really good to like historic levels of dominance. But I don't know if I would expect it to happen.
Yeah. I think the one thing I would like to see happen is a Ray McCloud replacement, basically. There's a name. So the Buffalo Bills had a bit of a, you know, fire sale before the league year started. Deontay Hardy is a wide receiver, but mostly a kick returner. He's not really been a. He's got 79 career receptions in five seasons with New Orleans and Buffalo, but has been pretty good as a return guy. Averaged 338 yards on 36 kick returns as a rookie with New Orleans. That was in 14 games and a touchdown that year. So that's a 9.4 yards per return average, and had 323 yards on 26 returns in 16 games last year with Buffalo. That's on kicker, that's on punt returns. That's 12.4 yards per return and a touchdown last year as well. Not as big of a kick returner. He's done it, but it's not been as pro. It's been, you know, fine. The Bills didn't use him that way anymore, at all last year. He had one kick return last year. But I think there's a pretty good chance that within the next couple of seasons, the kick return will be basically like banished from the game anyway. And it all but is now, like with the way these kickers are booming the ball out of the back of the end zone. So the punt return thing is really the main thing. And so I think that's, he's not a big guy at all. He's 5'6", 170. But he could be a guy that you could figure out a way to use him, even if he's like your fifth wide receiver, but he serves an immediate purpose. I don't know if that's the guy, but they've clearly shown they do not trust rookies or young kids with this position. And so having just a steady hand back there to replace Ray McCloud would be nice.
I agree. I do think they need a solution. I don't know what the solution is. It could be Deontay Hardy. It probably isn't a rookie, like you said. But I think the Niners finally had shown the fact that they would take it seriously with signing McCloud. And I want them to continue to do that. Because I do think if you take a big picture view of this team, they are really bad at special teams for a team that's really good. And it cost them. Like, every year we say it will cost them, and it cost them. And I think they're at a point now where they got to figure it out. They got to take care of it. And I do think Hardy would be a great addition.
Yeah. If only Ray Ray had fallen on that ball.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're doing that already. It's fine. obviously at this point, I think the first wave of free agency is over. It's crazy to me. So this is a complete aside. It is crazy to me that it's that the speed with which NFL free agency happens and the snail's pace at which Major League Baseball free agency happens is just hilarious. Like, those two situations could not be any further from one another. The fact that the reigning NL Cy Young winner still just doesn't have a contract and baseball starts in a week and a half is just funny. And yet a guy like that, if it were like whatever the equivalent would be in the NFL, he wouldn't make it past the first day of free agency. So that's just like a funny aside to me. It's just like, who's going to get signed first, Chase Young or Blake Snell? my money's on Blake or on Chase Young. I just gotta say that's where I'd go, and he doesn't have to play a meaningful football game for like 6 months, so go figure.
Another quick note, just because you speculated about the safety market, apparently Mike Silver said that Talanoa Hufanga's starting spot is not guaranteed, and that they may in fact dip into the safety market to replace him, which would be very interesting and like interesting decision, because I think that would mean, I don't know if Hufanga should be your backup then. Maybe, I don't know, that different story. You kind of have to think about it in a different way, but just to your credit, who knows what the 49ers might do next.
Yeah, they're a very, very interesting organization. That's for sure. All right. Oxus, any final thoughts on this one before we wrap it up? We'll be getting into the draft here pretty soon. We'll probably, you know, go quiet, barring any like major news. Like if they sign someone that we didn't expect or something happens, then we'll return with you. But we'll probably after this one take a little break and be back early April to start getting into the draft. But before we do that, any final thoughts from you, Oxus?
I mean, so first of all, continue to read our articles, because even though we won't be speaking to you, you can hear our voices on the page. But beyond that, I just say, I think the Niners are in a really interesting spot. And I think it's like the NFL is really ramping up. Like the Bears, who are most likely going to draft Caleb Williams, they're making some big moves to bolster their team. The Packers are ascending. The Lions are where they are. The Eagles are trying to retool. The Cowboys, even though they can't beat the 49ers, are still they did get Eric Kendricks. This could change everything for them. Actually, good, they do need a linebacker. But the point rather is just that, you know, the Niners are the top dog in the NFC. That's a hard position to maintain, and I just think it's really interesting to see how they try to maintain it, because teams don't give up in the National Football League. That's the best part about this league, is that as a rule, every team is going for it. There's a very rare time that a team is absolutely like completely thrown the towel in. And I think, you know, the Niners are going to have a lot of competition, and it's just going to be fun to see how it all shakes out. But yeah, we'll be talking to you guys about the draft and about which offensive tackle the Niners will be drafting most likely.
For sure. All right. Well, as always, thanks for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Please continue, as Oxhead just said, to check out ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis. And be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And of course, share it with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.